The Spirit of God was there from the beginning, before the world began, the power through which God created everything. The Spirit of God was there when Christ was born. When he was crucified, the power by which Christ was resurrected. The Spirit of God was there when 3,000 received him, when he became the direct access to God's holy throne. The Spirit of God is there, tugging on your heartstrings, urging you to follow Jesus, asking you to trust, even though you cannot see. The Spirit of God is here, your comfort in trouble, your seal for eternity, your breath of life, your joy unspeakable. He is life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Spirit. Let's bow our heads. Do want to say we thank you for your giving. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we ask that you would bless this time of sharing the Word of God. God, we ask that you would touch the hearts of your people, the ears of your people. Bless the mind and the vocal cords of your speaker. God, let it be a moment in time where we will get that which we need from you. And we thank you that no one's coming will be in vain, but we all will be eternally touched and blessed through the preached word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with your Bibles in your hands. Repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise this morning. Oh, glory to God. Come on, do it one more time. Make a little more noise. Amen. Amen. I sound reserved, but I can feel the presence of the Lord. And I would say in a little bit of an unusual way, but that's a good thing, not a bad thing. So as we go through the Spirit of God, as we go through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, hopefully you pick up on what I'm feeling. I think some of y'all feel it because you brought it with you. Amen. All right. So one of the reasons why it's a little maybe a little different. Go ahead and flash it up for us. It's Pentecost Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Normally, I don't wear my clergy collar back to back, but I did wear it last week for Communion Sunday and once again for Pentecost Sunday because it is an important time. And so the title for today is this. It is Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. There's an idea or a mindset that the Holy Spirit needs to be welcomed in. That the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he's gentle to us, but there is a welcoming of the Holy Spirit. I remember a song we used to sing that said, "Welcome, welcome, 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 Holy Ghost, we welcome you. Come and feel this temple." There is an inviting. One of the things that the Holy Spirit will not do, he will not come where he's not invited. However, sometimes he will show up where he's not invited because he has the power to do so. But once you have revelation of who he is, there is an invitation that should be made to just say, "Come, Holy Spirit." Let's just do that. Even though it's the title, let's just do that together. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit. And we're saying it, but I want you to welcome him into your personal space. And so before we do this, I want you just to take a moment, those of you online as well, to think about where you need the Spirit of God. And before we move in the further, let me just say that the very first time that we hear of the Spirit of God, it's connected to chaos. The scripture says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then it says, and the earth was without form and void. And then it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the third verse says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And so the very first time we hear the Holy Spirit, it's connected to a time of chaos. But when the Holy Spirit came, it brought order to chaos. I know you're in church right now, but some of y'all, when you walk out the door, you got to go back home to some chaos. When you clock in on Monday morning, you got to deal with some chaos. And so when we say, come Holy Spirit, we're inviting him to organize our chaos, to reorder some stuff, to step in and to show up. We're inviting him to be way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. So come on, let's do it again. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Yes, one final time. Come Holy Spirit. When we say come, we are saying you are welcome. All right, so let's move into giving us some identity toward Pentecost. So what Pentecost is, it's a Christian holy day observed 50 days after Easter. It's commemorating the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and other followers of Jesus. It's a clear moment in history. We see it in Acts chapter 2. But before we get to Acts chapter 2, there's something else that we need to understand about this holiday, this feast. It's actually a holiday, but it's for us, we don't make it more a holiday, but in other cultures, it's a holiday. But put this up. It is also known as the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot in the Old Testament. It is a harvest festival because the Holy Spirit brings harvest that also commemorates the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. So in the Old Testament, it was not known as Pentecost, but it was the Feast of Weeks, and it was 50 days after Passover, and it was connected to harvest. You have to understand that back in the Old Testament, when they had feasts and festivals, we often think only of the harsh God of the Old Testament. But we fail to realize that he instituted feast and celebration. God is a God of order, but he's a God of celebration. And he wanted his people to celebrate what he did when he brought them out of Egypt and he brought them through the Red Sea. He was like, celebrate me. And so this Feast of Weeks was a time of celebration. But this is what they celebrated, though. They celebrated the giving of the law. When Moses came down off of the mountain and his face shone, it was lit up, because he had been with the presence of God. They celebrated the giving of the law. But let's move forward. John 1:17.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In our Better Together sermon, we talked about grace and truth. But if you would look at this, the beauty of it that I get out of it is that if they could celebrate over the giving of the law, and the law had no power to make men free, it could only point out where you were wrong, and there were great punishments in the law. If they could celebrate over the law, what about the church celebrating over the grace of Jesus Christ? If the Israelites could celebrate over the Ten Commandments, can't we celebrate over God's grace, his mercy, his truth? That's why some of y'all were going in when you heard stuff like, you thought I was worth saving. Ooh, so you worship because you know what God has done for you. People who have a hard time worshiping, they must think they got it all together. But when you know what God has done for you, sometimes you don't have to wait till a song. You don't have to wait for CC Winings to strike up. You don't have to wait for an organ or a tambourine. You got a praise down on the inside. Jay Moss said, there's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself. And so the scholars, and as I study, they call the day of Pentecost the birthday of the church. And so this is a birthday party. Today is a day to celebrate the Spirit of God showing up, not just in the book of Genesis and bringing order to chaos, but walking all through history. The Holy Spirit was there at the cross. The Holy Spirit was there when Christ came out the grave. The Holy Spirit is here in this place right now. The Holy Spirit has been in your car. The Holy Spirit has been in your shower. The Holy Spirit has been in your bedroom. So guess what? When you come here on a day like Pentecost, it's a day to have a celebration. If I was cool in the gang, I would say, celebrate. Come on. Yeah. Celebrate. So the reason why I'm saying that, and I've got to move on, the reason why I'm saying this is because we go through life, and this culture, the culture that we're in, it easily sucks us into it, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But guess what? Many of us, we know when Valentine's Day is. We know when Christmas is. We know when the 4th of July is, but we really don't know when God's feasts are. So I'm saying let's switch and let's start remembering the feast of the Lord and show up ready to celebrate. Not like this. And I know none of y'all did this today because y'all got a different attitude. Not like this. Oh, I guess I got to go to DT today. Whoo, I'm tired. Man, I got to make my way. Oh, good God Almighty, I'm happy. It's Sunday morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I can't wait to find somebody else ready to praise the Lord. Like I'm ready to praise the Lord because I recognize this is an opportunity for me to let go and let God. If you can't praise God anywhere, you ought to be able to praise him in the house of the Lord. All right, so now I got to back off of that. Now I got to teach. You know, I love the ministry that I grew up under. Bishop Clark was a preacher, and Bishop Mitchell was a teacher. He was actually a teacher by trade. He actually had a degree, and he taught in school. So I have that preaching, teaching anointing. So now we're going to do a little teaching because I want you to have some information so that it will help you with your revelation. Yeah. Let me back up for a minute. So when you come to church, you get impartation. But in the impartation, sometimes you don't get enough information so that you can leave and have your own revelation. So I don't want a church that just gives me impartation where I dance all the time and I don't have enough information. So I want impartation and information so I can have a revelation. Because we are Deliverance Temple, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So even though I can preach every Sunday, I pause and do some teaching. And you ought to be thankful for a teaching preacher. All right, so let's flash this up on the screen. Here it is. We're going to do a Holy Spirit refresher course. I'm going to do a crash course over a bunch of things, and I couldn't, let me put it that way. I couldn't do full justice to it at this time because I would wear you out. So I'm going to try to do a crash course and just refresh our mind on things of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm saying that is because as you go through life as a Christian, oftentimes we think of God and we think of Jesus, but sometimes we forget the agency of the Holy Spirit. And so, it's not a problem because God the Father is quite important. So is God the Son, and the Holy Spirit finds its way within. But today is a day for me to illuminate the Spirit's work, not the Father and not just the Son, but the Spirit. And so we're going to put this up: five important facts to know about the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, let's roll, Pastor.
Let's roll.
All right, let's give you number one. Before Christ's death, it meaning the Spirit, mainly came on people only for service, and it could be lost. So before the cross, there was no, I had the Spirit in me, and the Spirit told me. That was not possible because of Adam and Eve's failure. But when it did come, it came for service. There's a man in the Bible named Bezalel, and the Bible says he was anointed to make the things for the tabernacle. The anointing came on him. The prophet, priest, and the king, the anointing would come on them for works and for service. But the regular person did not get an opportunity to have the Spirit. And even if you did have the Spirit, it could be lost. Let me prove it to you from Scripture. Look at Psalms 51:11, what David says.
Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
This is after Nathan had got in his face and told him that he had messed up with Bathsheba and Uriah, and he's crying out to God, and he's repenting, and he makes this statement, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me, because the Holy Spirit could be taken from them. Just ask Samson, who woke up, shook himself, but he played around with Delilah too long, and there was no more power, there was no anointing. So that was before the cross, but look at this, number two. Number two, after Christ's resurrection, it could be received by anyone. It wasn't just for the special folk anymore. It's for everybody. Let's look at Luke 11:13. Read that.
If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Not because you're a prophet, a priest, or king, but just because you ask him. Jesus said, God the Father, he gonna give the Holy Spirit to anybody who asks for him. Now look at what it says in John 20:22.
And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Jesus said this to his disciples before he ascended. He just blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So you have to understand, when you and I, when we read the Bible, Brother Donald, we read and we look at these people in the Hall of Faith, these great men, these great women in the Bible, and we think about how amazing they are. But do you not know that they actually look toward us? Because we have the Holy Spirit like they did not have. And so we cannot take for granted what we have. We have the Spirit of God. Let's give you number three, another fact. Christ promised it would come with power. Not only did he say it's going to come, but it's going to come with power. Read Acts 1:8-9.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit...
Hold on, say it one more time. What?
But you will receive power.
Woo.
When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and on all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth.
Remotest part of the earth. Bring me back to a time, Deliverance Temple, where it's not just the pastor that has power. Bring me to a time where the people know I got the power. I have the power because I have the Holy Spirit and I have access. access to the Holy Spirit, so I have access to the power. Read verse 9.
And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
I'm going through a lot of different things, but this is Christ as he's ascending. And one of the last things he says before he begins to rise back up to the earth is, you are going to receive some power. Why would Jesus say that? Because when they were around him, most of the power happened through him. So now that he's leaving, they're assuming we're not going to have any power. But he's letting them know, I'm leaving you the power, because I'm leaving you the Spirit that enabled me to have the power. So all of us, we have power whether we know it or not. You have power whether you use it or not. For example, right now back here, there's four outlets. But there's nothing plugged into those outlets. Even though we're not using them, doesn't mean that power is not available. So some of y'all, because you are down in the dumps, you want to look and act like God is not powerful. No, the problem is not God. The problem is you. Somehow you've lost the Spirit. But I'm here to tell you, it's time to get hooked back up with the Spirit, because with the Spirit comes some power. Oh yeah. I want devils to know I got some power. I want haters to know I got some power. I want demons to know I got some power, because I got the Holy Spirit. Number four, it says this: after Christ's ascension, its first outward manifestation came after 10 days of prayer. So that lets me know that power sometimes is best packaged with prayer. Not just prayer in the sanctuary, but your private personal prayer time can produce some power. Ooh, that was a powerful alliteration. Your private personal prayer time can produce some power. Let me say it one more time. Your private personal prayer time can produce some power. Look at what happens in Acts 2, and this is the famous verses. Read them.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place.
Unified. Read.
And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
Yes, read.
And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them.
This is beautiful and this is powerful, but nowhere do I read that the choir marched in with their robes. Some people feel like, I can't find power if the choir ain't singing, if the organ's not playing. They didn't have none of that. All they had was unity and prayer. But it produced some power. And then these cloven tongues, you know the story, they begin to sit on the heads. Read verse 4.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance.
This is where we get the tongue. So this was the very first outward manifestation. But I do need you to understand, this is not the only manifestation of the Spirit. Some people, when they think Holy Spirit, they only think tongues. That was an initial manifestation, but it's not the only manifestation. Because how do you speak in tongues under the Spirit, but also cuss me out under your breath with the same tongue? You don't really have the Spirit like you need to have the Spirit, because the Spirit will give you some power to overcome your flesh and stop being so mean, evil, and nasty. You don't need a new tongue. You need some power through prayer. All right, let's go to number 5. Running through these. After Christ finished work, the Holy Spirit no longer leaves us. David was afraid. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. But in this day and age, the Holy Spirit no longer leaves us, but it can be grieved by us or quenched by us. Let's look at Ephesians 4:30. What does it say?
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
In other words, the Holy Spirit is there to seal you until the time of redemption, but you can grieve him. And so we have to be careful that we're not grieving the Spirit, because many times the Spirit is coming to empower us, but we got a nasty attitude, and so we're grieving the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit of God wants to move on us, but we're not obedient. What do you mean by that? Sometimes God wants you to be loud, and you won't be quiet. Sometimes God wants you to be quiet, and you want to be loud. Have you ever met somebody who always is doing the opposite of what is needed? That grieves you. It's like you have that one child that just always does the opposite. You ask for left, they go right. You ask for right, they go left. You love them, but you're grieved by their actions. Don't let the Holy Spirit be grieved by your actions. Learn how to fall in line with the Spirit. And then not only that, let's look at this next one, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says what?
Do not quench the Spirit.
Don't quench the Spirit. Don't stop him when he's going good. Don't shut him down. Don't turn off the flow. Sometimes we get in the habit of turning off the Spirit. How do you do that, Pastor Andre? Well, let me give you an example. You woke up in the morning and you woke up and say, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And the Spirit is just getting ready to start moving. Then you pick up your phone. Let's go to Facebook. Boy, Spirit was just getting ready to have sweet communion with you, but you quench it. Now it's trial and error. You learn, but sometimes you got to learn how to not get in the way of the Spirit. Sometimes you got to just let go and let God. You got to. Sometimes we overthink too much. We just overthink it. Sometimes God wants to move and we just get in the way. But once you learn how to flow. There's a preacher, Bill Winston, that when he was preaching, that at certain point, he would just begin to say, flow. And the Holy Spirit would just begin to shift the atmosphere. And then actually people in the audience, they would start saying, flow. And what was happening, it's a symbol that sometimes when God is moving, he don't need any of your human interaction. He don't need you getting in there. He don't need you thinking it over. He just needs you to flow. Allow him to flow. Allow him to move. Have you ever spilt water and you see how that water will just go in all kinds of directions? But then when you grab napkins, you can control it. But the Holy Spirit wants to move like water. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? See, here's the thing. We want the Holy Spirit to show up in our prayer life, but don't mess with my sex life. Leave that part alone, Holy Spirit. But no, the Holy Spirit wants to flow into all kinds of avenues. Stop blocking his flow. Let him have his work in your life. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. All right, let's move on. Give it, it's the crash course. I'm trying to give you as much information as I can. Put this up. Let's give us 5 alternate names for the Holy Spirit. So I've been saying Holy Spirit, what are other things that it's called? Let's put it up really quick. The Holy Ghost. Some of y'all grow up with hearing about the Holy Ghost. It's the King James would say Holy Ghost. Other versions say Holy Spirit. Mainly the King James is the only one that says Holy Ghost, but that's it. Spirit of God. That is another one, Spirit of God. How about this? The Comforter. The Helper. The Spirit of Truth. Now, there's several names. I've just only given you 5. But the Holy Spirit goes by so many different names, but they're all the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, I like the Holy Ghost. Well, say Holy Ghost. It's okay. Somebody say, I like the Helper. I feel my help coming. Say, whatever you got to say, say it. But just know it's the same one doing the same work. All right, let's Let's go further. Let's give us five jobs of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going fast on a Bible study night. I'll slow down and give you more if you want to take notes. You may have to tune in or come back for Bible study. But right now, we're trying to move. So five jobs of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just twiddling his thumbs. The Holy Spirit has actual jobs from the scripture. Let's look at the first job. Number one is to convict. Now, let me pause and say this. A lot of us think that's our job. We try to do the Holy Spirit's job. No, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's not your job to convict. How do we know that? What does the scripture say? Let's look at what John 16, verse 7 says.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you.
That's one of those names we just saw.
But if I go, I will send him to you.
Yeah, Jesus said, I got to go. And you, it may seem like you don't want me to go, but I need to go so that the helper can come. But look at what verse 8 says.
And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment.
So he will convict the world of sin. So it's his job. So it's not your job to go to the family reunion, knocking bottles out of people's hand, knocking spades cards out of people's hand, telling them they going to hell. That ain't your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And the problem with some folk don't know that since folk ain't saved, they might get to shooting. You knock bottles out of their hand. You need to stay in your place and stay in your lane and let the Holy Spirit do his work. Because it's his job to do the convicting. Because the scripture says nobody can come to God unless he draw them. You are supposed to be a witness, yes. And the scripture says God will empower you to be a witness. But sometimes the best way to be a witness is to keep your mouth closed. And just allow the Spirit of God to resonate. You ever been saved folk at a place like a family reunion? You ain't bothering nobody. And folk just start putting bottles behind their back. And they just start scooting away from you. You ain't said a word, but your spirit speaks. It brings peace, but it also irritates demons and devils. And folk gets up and they move around. You ever seen folk just start getting nervous around you? It's the Spirit of God. You don't have to run people off. Just be you. Or just be anointed. Just be powerful. Just be full of the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit do his work. Now, with the case of Peter, the Bible says Peter's shadow began to heal people. So much anointing, so much power. So carry a presence with you where you don't always have to open your mouth. Let me tell you something. When you're powerful, folk know when you enter a room. They can feel it. They can sense it when you have power. Let's go further. Verse 9.
Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me.
This is something very important for us to understand, saints, as it relates to people out there in the world. I know that many people do a lot of evil and wrong things, but there's really only one major sin, and it's the sin of unbelief. And it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict them and show them who Jesus is. That's why we used to sing a song that said, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Woo! He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. And so the point is that they ought to be able to see Jesus in you. And as you show up, they see Jesus in you, and it convicts them to believe, because they begin to understand there's nothing special about Darlene. So this has to be God in her life. There's nothing special about Doug. So this has to be the hand of God. You ought to be a light for God. There's nothing special about Caden. It has to be the hand of God. And so what you do is you show up just being you. Now the other day on Facebook, I sat down thinking about something, and I just began to write what I do, what I normally do. And I didn't expect it to kind of blow up the way it did. I had like 300 likes and people talking about how special you are and how great of a person you are. And I was just talking about what it takes to be a leader. And one of the reasons I wrote it, because a lot of times people will say, pastors don't do nothing. All pastors do is take folk money. And I just want to let them know that I ain't the kind of pastor that you can say that about, because I'm always doing something, always involved in something. But I didn't expect the response that I got, because I was just almost journaling. I was just writing it. But guess what? Without me even knowing it, I'm making a difference because of the Spirit of God. Now it's not me. It's the Spirit of God. It's not you, it's the Spirit of God. And how you will know you've got away from the Spirit of God is when you can no longer do what you used to do. What used to come easy is now hard, because now you're not operating under the Spirit of God. But as long as you have the Spirit of God, you look supernatural and superhuman. It doesn't make sense what you get accomplished. Have you ever looked at some, let's say your garage is all messed up and you think, man, I need to clean my garage. And let me just start. And the next thing you know, 2 hours in, you done organized so much stuff and you're trying to figure out, how did I get it all accomplished? The Spirit of God showed up. My mother was struggling in her body not too long ago, and she wanted me to pray for her. The next thing I know, she's out working in her garden, because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will enable you to do what you really can't do. If I was you, I wouldn't do anything else without the Spirit of God. I need His Spirit. I need Him enabling me. I need Him touching me. I need Him speaking for me. Next time you go and ask for a raise, before you ask for a raise, talk to the Spirit of God. And watch when you get in the room how God fix your mouth. You say words that you didn't even know you knew. It's the Spirit of God. The job that I'm on right now and the job that Brother Will's on, we both are called team leaders on our job. And so I had been asked to be a team leader, but I just wasn't interested. I had a job that I thought I was going to retire from. I had a nice job. I was away from people. But then they took that job away and got rid of all the third shift. And so I got forced to be in the area that I really wasn't wanting to be. And so somebody said, you should be a team leader. And I was like, no. I lead at church. I don't feel like leading that my job. At my job, I just want to go off somewhere and just kind of do my job and be left alone. One thing I'm learning as I grow older, Sister Kelly, I used to always think I was an extrovert. I got some introverted ways. I've noticed that sometimes I don't want to people. I'm tired of peopling. Won't be by myself. But I realized that the writing on the wall that I really needed to go ahead and put in for the team leader job. And so I put in for the team leader thing, and you have to take a test first. And they came to me and they said, unfortunately, the next test is on Thursday. This was Tuesday. Normally you have weeks and weeks to study for the test. They was like, but the next one is Thursday, and if you're going to put in for the job, you need to take it Thursday. So that means I only had one day to study. So I'm thinking, well, probably I may not do that well. Make a long story short, I end up passing the test and going. You have a written test and a verbal test. And they said, the boss said it was one of the best team leader evaluations he ever had, that they ever done. And so somebody came and asked me, what did I say? And I was like, I don't know. I was, and excuse my French, I don't mean to say something wrong, but this is the only thing I can think of. I was BSing my way through it. I was just talking. I mean, I was talking from my reality, but what happened was the Spirit of God took over. And they were asking me stuff. They was like asking me questions about, have you ever been in a position where you had to think of something ahead of time and had to do this? And I'm thinking, what? And then I started talking. I said, well, before the pandemic hit, I tried to get us on live stream, and we were trying to live stream before the pandemic. And then I wrote a grant, and we got these cameras, and then we was able to in the pandemic live stream and keep going. I'm just talking off the top of my head. It was something that really happened. And they were looking at me like, wow, that's amazing. That's the Spirit of God. All right, let me back off of that. Some of y'all, when you walk through your house with your spouse, you even ask yourself, how did I end up with her? I don't look that good to be with her, but woo, the Spirit of God got on me and I was talking good. Boy, I had her eaten out of my head. I had her with them googly eyes. I just made her fall in love with me. And I really don't know how I did it, but the Spirit of God showed up and just made a way. Got promotions that you don't deserve because the Spirit of God. Driving cars you don't deserve because of the Spirit of God. Living in houses that you don't deserve because of the Spirit of God. You negotiated stuff and don't have any negotiation skills, but at the time of the negotiation, something rose up in you and you started talking stuff you didn't know nothing about. It was the Spirit of God. Verse 10, let's read verse 10.
Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer.
So you're not going to see me anymore, but I'm leaving you something that's very special and crucial. Read.
Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
All right, so let's, that was the first job. I got four more jobs to go, but let me just pause and say this. So it always seems like when Jesus got to the cross, went to the grave, and got up out of the grave, he would have just stayed around. That seemed like that's what he would have done, but he leaves. And so I understand why the disciples were confused. Okay, but why are you going? But this is what Jesus said. I came in human form. And in human form, I can only be at one place at a time. I can't be everywhere at the same time. So he said, it's better for you that I go, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to send the Spirit that's enabling me to do what I do. And the Spirit can go everywhere. See, right now, while the Spirit is helping me preach, the Spirit is helping you listen. While the Spirit is helping me preach, the Spirit is helping you say amen. And right now, while you're saying amen and I'm preaching, over there in Timbuktu, there's somebody else preaching, and the same Spirit is helping them too, because it can be everywhere at the same time. Jesus said, I got to go so I can give you the source, which is the Spirit. All right, number two. This is the number two job that he does. So number one was convict. Number two is guide and speak. Read.
I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear.
I feel like that's right now today. I got more than you can bear. Read.
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come.
Tell you what is yet to come. I just thought of an example. We live in a day and age now where hackers are everywhere. And they'll spam you. They'll send you an AT&T bill that looks like your AT&T bill. And then when you call the number, they'll take your whole identity. Have you ever almost done something, almost clicked on something, almost said yes to something, and the Spirit's like, mm-mm. Just because the Spirit, what it does, it leads us into truth. It guides us and it speaks to us. I told you how when I was at before they got the shooting, that I was there and I was ministering to people I wasn't preaching to them. I was just shaking hands, loving on people. But I felt the Spirit say go, but pray before I go. And I did, and they went to shooting not too long after I left, because the Spirit will speak to you. The Spirit will tell you when it's time to go. The Spirit will tell you don't go down that way. The Spirit will tell you, no, don't take this stake. Just dig around. I was thinking about my mother. So back in the day when I was young and I would go shopping with my mama, I would grab the first thing. She's like, no, I'll never just grab the first thing. Always dig behind there a little. People got their fingers all over the first thing. Just go back and get something back. But she was allowing the Spirit done told her, you don't always want to just grab everything because you don't know what somebody done. The Spirit will get you out of some stuff. Go to a restaurant, nice restaurant. You get ready to grab a fork and something tells you to look at the fork and it got a spot on it. Hey, waiter, come take this back. You don't know what germ is lurking around the corner. You don't know what the devil has tried to do, but the Spirit has you aware. It brings you truth. It guides you and it talks to you. All right, let's look at what else it does. Number three, glorify. Put that up there, number three. All right. John 16:14. How does it glorify?
He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you.
The Spirit is always pointing back to Jesus, so it glorifies your Savior. Number four, what does it do? The Spirit, it teaches and reminds. Look at John 14:26.
But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you.
Oh, you ever got in a situation where you didn't have money to call the mechanic? You didn't have money to call the HVAC? You didn't have money to do this and do that? And something told you to go to YouTube and just take a chance. And you find out the part you needed was only $7.50. And they was about to charge you $1,000, but the Spirit of God is teaching you. That's why it's important not to leave home, not without your American Express. No, don't leave home without the Spirit of God. Brother Will and Sister Devin will tell you that we had a situation where we're trying to be forward thinking. We just had a staff meeting today, but in one of our staff meetings a few years ago, we said what we should do is we should winterize our furnace ahead of time before the winter hits. We got to be prepared. And so we called some people and got on their schedule for them to come and winterize our furnace. Now, the furnace was working before they got here. And then after they got here, all of a sudden, it's not working. And they tell Sister Devin and Brother Will, we need a brand new furnace. Now we're talking about, this is in not a home furnace, this is an industrial furnace. We're talking about $400,000 to $500,000 minimum. But something in my spirit said, no, I don't think that's right. I need to take a look at it. Because I had been doing some stuff through the Spirit. I didn't learn some stuff. I didn't know nothing about no heaters. But when you have to be a pastor, you got to check everything. Because here's the thing. If y'all giving me y'all money to put into the church, I can't just be spending it willy-nilly. I got to pay attention. And so I learned some stuff. And I wondered, there's this one part that comes on Amazon for $25. I said, before we allow them to work on it, I want to see if this $25 thing will fix. Well, guess what? This is the same furnace. We didn't get no new furnace, but the Spirit of God revealed that they was trying to get over it. And let me say this. If they will come in a church and try to get over on you, what do you think they'll do at your house? So I don't care what the estimate says. Talk to the Spirit. Mother Mabel Woods would tell you, put some oil on it. She would put oil in the gas if she had to make the gas last a little longer. You need the Spirit of God to live here. Somebody said, do you need the Spirit of God to live a holy life? You need the Spirit of God to go to Walmart. You need the Spirit of God to go to Chipotle. You need the Spirit of God to go to work. You need the Spirit of God to take a bath. See, we live in a day and age, they have what they call the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, and they're the ones who say what products are allowed. If you look at TikTok, they'll tell you that this deodorant causes cancer, this coffee causes cancer, this other study said this coffee is good for you. I don't know what to believe. I trust the Spirit of God. I need His Spirit to keep me alive. You need His Spirit. Trust God. And I'm talking about in all kinds of things. Sometimes just driving down the road, you feel the Spirit say, get over in the next lane. Just move over. I remember taking me and my wife, before she was my wife, we were going to take this girl to Bloomington, Indiana. And I'm behind this car that has Christmas trees on it. It's real Christmas trees. And something just feels like I need to slow down. And at the moment I did that the band popped and the Christmas tree shot up in the air. Right toward me. If any of y'all ever watched the movie Final Destination, it looked like Final Destination, like it was going to come right through. But God had already told me to slow down. And I was able to just to move and maneuver around it. Didn't get touched, didn't get hit. It wasn't my driving skills. It was the Spirit of God. What does the Spirit of God help? What else is his job? Number 5, put it up there. Oh, it testifies. What does it testify? Read Romans 8, 15 through 16.
The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again.
Ooh.
Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father.
The Spirit signed our adoption papers. Yeah, you once was lost, but now you found. Look what it says in verse 16.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Ooh, it's testified. Now see, when we think of testify, we think of testifying in the church first, giving honor to God. But this testimony is like in a courtroom. And what is happening is, even when you messed up, even when you cut up, even when you've blown it, because even though you're saved and got the Spirit of God, every now and then you just blow it real big. And the devil says, ha, 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 I told you he wasn't no man of God. I told you he wasn't no woman of God. But the Spirit testifies that's a child of God. And Satan said, no, it can't be a child of God because he did such and such. He did so and so. She did such and such. She did so and so. But the Spirit of God says, all I see is the blood of the Lamb. I don't see such and such. I don't see so and so. All I see is the blood of the Lamb. And so I'm here to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This is a child of God. And the reason why I'm blessed is not because I'm so special. It's because the Spirit testifies I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. But sometimes you cuss sometimes, but I'm a child of the King. Sometimes you lie sometimes, but I'm a child of the King. Sometimes you backslide, but I'm a child of the King. It's not my own testimony. It's the testimony of the Spirit of God. And guess what? I made up my mind. If the Spirit says I'm sanctified, I'm going to say I'm sanctified. If the Spirit says I'm saved, I'm going to say I'm saved. If the Spirit says I'm healed, I'm going to say I'm healed. If the Spirit says I'm prosperous, I'm going to say I'm prosperous. The Spirit is the testifier. So I got the best testifier in the world. And what the Spirit is saying, this is what the prosecutor, which is the devil, saying. The prosecutor is saying, on May 10th, 2025, at about 6:30 p.m., James Andre Mitchell did X, Y, and Z. But the testifier gets up and says, yes, that may be true, but that's not the whole truth. The whole truth is over 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross with nails in his hand and nails in his feet and a crown of thorns on his head. The price was already paid and he said, it is finished. So your May 10th, 2025, it don't mean nothing because it was wiped out by the blood of the Lamb. I'm so glad that the Spirit testifies for me. I'm saved. I'm healed. I got eternal life. The gift of God belongs to me. And that's why I can stand up and sing, All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Because he testifies for me. He says I'm not guilty. He testifies for me. He says I'm washed in the blood. He testifies for me. He says heaven is my home. He testifies for me. He says I'm anointed. He testifies for me. He says I'm appointed. He testifies for me. He says I'm delivered. So whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Believe the report of the Lord. Come on. Let's get us out of here. This is the last thing in our crash course. Here we go. We're going to finish with seven characteristics of the Spirit. This Spirit that I'm talking about. That's helping me preach. I'm going to give you seven good old characteristics and we're going to get out of here. Look at, they're all in one verse. Look at Isaiah 11 and 2. Read that, Mother Mitchell. We'll have you read it twice.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
Read it one more time. Slow it down just a little and then we'll go through them.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom,
yes,
and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
All right, we're going to close going through these seven. Number one is rest. The Spirit will rest on you or remain on you. It plans on remaining on you, but when it remains on you, and these are all things I've shared, so I'm going to go through them kind of quickly. Number two, it's going to bring you wisdom because the Spirit comes with rest and wisdom. But not only is it wisdom, it's going to bring to you, number three, some understanding. I need some understanding. In all that getting, get an understanding. So it brings me the rest and the wisdom and the understanding. And it also brings me some counsel when I don't know what to do. Even though I have a therapist, I don't trust my therapist. I trust the counsel of the Spirit of the Lord. And number five, not only that, I have the might of God through the Spirit of God, because it is by the might of the Lord. It's not by any other thing but the might of the Lord. Number six, it's the knowledge of God, because the scripture says the knowledge of the Holy One. It brings understanding. And then number seven, the fear of the Lord. Now I'm going to put up a graphic and I'm going to run through these all together. And this is how we're going to close in our confession. Go ahead and put it up. You may have to look closely, but I'll read them for you. It's the sevenfold Spirit of God. These are the character traits, and this is what we're celebrating, the Spirit of the Lord. The description is the overarching presence, identity, and anointing of God. Number two, the wisdom. It's skillful living, seeing life from God's perspective. Not your perspective, not CNN's perspective, but from the perspective of God. Number three is the understanding, insight, and discernment into truth and meaning, discerning the secret things of God. Number four is counsel, divine guidance, strategy, and direction. I got a business that I believe God's going to bless, but I need some divine strategy coming from God, the Spirit of God. Then there's might, which is supernatural strength, courage, and power. Well, when you should be rolling over and giving up, you got new strength. You like Popeye eating spinach. You got muscles, spiritual muscles popping out because the Spirit of God has got a hold of you. You like Clark Kent getting in the phone booth. The Spirit of God has got a hold of you. All right, and then knowledge is number six. Awareness of God's will and the workings of his creation. I mean, you know stuff that you shouldn't know. You have a knowing in your knower. You know when folk trying to get over on you and pull the okey-doke because you have a knowledge that comes from the Spirit. And then here's the final thing that wraps it all up. Fear of the Lord, which is a reverence, awe, and deep respect for God's holiness and authority. as I close, I'm not using all that spirit so I can get over on folk. I ain't using all this wisdom so I can cheat on my wife. No, I got fear of the Lord. I got respect and awe of the Lord. And sometimes, I'm closing, but sometimes that means I got to disrobe myself. Oh, that means it's not about what I got on. I got to disrobe myself and get before the presence of the Lord and say, God, if you can use anyone, please use me. God, touch me. God, take my hands. God, take my feet. God, use my mouth. God, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. God, order my steps. God, touch my children. Touch my babies. God, bless my church, God. Bless this nation, God. Even bless that president that I didn't vote for. God, turn some things around. When you have the fear of the Lord, you go before God. And saints, this is the time to get before God and get silent and pray until things happen. Pray until things happen. Pray until things come down. Pray until the demons tremble. Pray until the money comes. Pray until the backslider turns around. Pray until the addiction drops. Pray until God moves. Come on, stand to your feet. I feel a Bishop H. Royce Mitchell anointing hit me this morning. Glory to God. Let's say this together. Oh, hallelujah. Here's our confession. Our confession is this: come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, show us your ways, guide our steps, seal our souls, keep us close, overflow in our lives. Let's do it again. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, show us your ways, guide our steps, seal our souls, keep us close, overflow our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. I feel you in an unusual way, God. Ashikobande Rosaba. I just heard God say that I'm supposed to pray for everybody. I'm supposed to touch everybody this morning. So as we close this prayer, just line up. I'm just going to anoint and touch every head that I can. I feel his presence in an unusual way, God. And God, we thank you that you are going to take your people to higher heights and deeper depths into you. You're going to give them what they want. God, some of them, their hearts are still broken, and you're going to mend their hearts. Some of them are still lonely, and you're going to fix the loneliness. But God, we pray for everybody under the sound of my voice online that you would touch them and give them what they need. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, and a marvelous week.